House Bill 2001, and we have with us Secretary of State Troy Kiesling and Representative Randall Edwards. Would you like to come forward, please? Representative Randall Edwards is one of the co-sponsors of House Bill 2001. You know the rules, don't you, Representative Edwards, with regard to the acronym?
Yeah, somebody warned me about it.
Okay.
Pink piggy bank. Chair Butler, members of the committee, my name is Secretary of State Phil Kiesling. I'm here today to express my strong support for House Bill 2001 under the leadership of Representative Edwards and particularly House Speaker Lynn Snodgrass. This bill is before you today. It would create a centralized voter registration system. This has been something that's been a subject of legislation out of our office, I think, since 1993. We believe that the time is ripe to make this one-time investment in ensuring that Oregon's voter registration system is one of, if not the best and most up-to-date in the country. We also are proud that this bill is fully supported by the county clerks. It is one that they've worked on hard as well. I want to point out, and it's, I think, very important, that it does not transfer any responsibility or make any changes in any of the mix of state and local responsibilities we have now. Counties still are going to be running the voter registration process. So what this does, by investing in the hardware and the software and the training that will allow us to link up 36 databases, it will allow us to keep even more up to date, to be more proactive in ensuring that duplicates are expunged, to make sure that for all sorts of reasons that the system has the reliability that Oregon voters depend on. Note that in a given week, even in a slow part of the electoral season, you may have 4,000 to 6,000 changes in the voter registration base. Things are happening with great speed. And the stakes are not just a matter of the reality and the perception of the up-to-datedness. Oregon is the only state in the country that has anything comparable to the double majority law in the way that it plays out. We're, in effect, the only state out of 50 in which you have to worry about whether people are properly registered who don't show up at the ballot, whereas most states, of course, the issue is, are they properly registered if they do show up in order to vote? So I want to, again, applaud Speaker Snodgrass and Representative Edwards for bringing this bill forward. We do know that in a session where money is tight, there's a lot of competing priorities. But just in closing, I'd like to suggest some things that I'm, as told this committee, I'm willing to support and think are good ideas. One you've already done, and that is to restore the 1995 levels of fees and the size of the voter's pamphlet. That's avoided $700,000 in cost. And I also believe it is time to change the presidential primary. Under existing law, it is now scheduled to occur on March 14, 2000. It's an extra $1.5 million to run a separate election. Just to give you a flavor of the leapfrogging that's occurring at the national level, New Hampshire now is looking at holding its primary in the year 1999 to stay ahead of all the other states that are moving into February. Oregon wasn't a player in 96. I doubt it will be. If March is going to be late, as it turns out. I think a way, again, to avoid $1.5 million in costs would be to look at that. And one final point, and we stressed this before, I hope this legislature does it, but please do it right. To do this halfway or partially in any way would, I think, be a huge mistake and one that I would have to oppose. Implement this as it's been laid out. It's a $5.9 million program, but do not start down the path with the finish line not clear in sight, because the landscape is littered with bad information service computer projects because we have wanted to do it that way, and I stand firmly committed to doing this one right. So thank you for a chance to testify, and turn it over to Representative Edwards.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, my name is Randall Edwards, State Representative from House District 15 in Southeast Portland, and I appreciate the comments today about this bill.
and the speaker and I introduced this early on in the session and started working on the notion of getting a centralized voter file as being critical to the state's election process. One of the things that I think denotes Oregon nationally, beyond what the Secretary just described, is the fact that in addition to the supermajority, we also have an all-vote-by-mail. He and I may disagree about having gone down that path, but the fact is we have that in place. And so I believe that's added an additional need for this. And so the question before this committee is how do we finance it? And I also wholeheartedly concur with Secretary Kiesling over the idea that we've got to do this right. You can't come up with some partial funding and then expect this to be carried out in an effective and a manner which we would all be proud of. And so I'm here today to basically encourage you to help us find the financing to put this piece in place. I know it does have a pretty high price tag, perhaps, in the scheme of the budget talks where we are right now, at least in the budget process, but I think in the long term we can't look at shortchanging this. As I mentioned to the chair on the floor today, I'd be happy to work with him in seeing if there's ways that we could creatively maybe finance this through some debt financing such as a COP. That might play well into this. And in fact, I received some information from the Secretary's office, State's office, regarding that we might be able to do up to $3.3 million in identifying those as potential capital costs, which we might be able to do, which would help, I think, reduce the price tag. But I want to underscore that we need to do this right. And I think, as talking with the Secretary and others, that if we don't do it right, it's going to be a hard one to do at all. So I think it's a policy decision for us as a body is how do we ensure that we find the finances in a responsible way and then carry this out, because I do think this is a critical piece for the state. Elections are important, and this will be an important piece for us to have in the long-term future of the state and how we conduct our elections.
One question relative to the solicitation, if we decided to go to a solicitation financing, what is our annual or biannual avoided cost that we would be financing to the COPs?
I guess that's directed to our nation, so I'd put that on the table. Mr. Chair, I really haven't had a chance to flesh that out, and I'd be happy to come back with more detail. And I apologize, I just literally got sort of something from the Secretary of State's office today which described what might be the capital side. So I'd be happy to come back with some more detail on that.
That would be the amount that we would use towards the debt financing portion of the Secretary of Participation, I take it.
Right.
And then finally, Is it our vote by mail that creates the additional problems that Oregon has or we're faced with after the nationwide move to motor voter registration? Is that what creates the additional problems in Oregon?
Well, Director Butler, member of the committee, I do not believe it does. I think I'd be here with as much enthusiasm urging this bill if we were still under the old system. Of course, the old system was a hybrid system. Registration issues are going to be issues in any kind of system of voting. I think it's fair to say, though, that having, in a sense, made the full transition, the evolution to all the elections being by mail, Oregon voters are going to see a different system next time in terms of how it's experienced. It's not a revolutionary change, but an evolutionary one. I think this is part of giving them greater assurance that we are proactively managing this process to make sure that things that do happen on occasion, and they do, people getting more than one ballot at a given address, people who no longer live there, that we are identifying and then dealing with those problems even faster and assuring that there's no mischief. Now, there hasn't been any mischief to speak of, but there have been certainly cases where people get more than one ballot and the rolls have not been cleaned up in a timely manner. You don't catch everything, particularly with that number of changes, but I think it's good timing to do these things. I want to stress, though, that this system really doesn't take effect until the 2002 election cycle. It's not going to be operative in the year 2000, and again, that reflects the desire to do this right, to do it with good planning so that you can minimize the cost and then maximize the advantages of it.
basically they're talking about computerization systems statewide, which would be a central database that would match, in addition to names, probably birth date, as well as address.
Chair Butler, members of the committee, the idea is a separate bill moving forward to make sure the birth date's mandatory pieces of voter registration. It actually links the 36 counties together. The transactions are still occurring at the county level. Counties still have responsibility for voter registration. But what they'll be able to do with this system is if you're registering in Marion County, it will give the clerk there the ability to expunge the record and change it in Malheur County or send the directions to get that process started. Also give the possibility of checking to see whether there are other people with same identifiers in other counties as well to assure that before the information goes into the system that it's clean. Once stuff is in, going back later and trying to get it out becomes much more difficult. So we're trying to get this stuff at the front end by linking the 36 counties together. But it's not that the Secretary of State will be making change, will be actually entering and deleting names. That's still going to be the responsibility of the clerk.
One of the things the committee's dealt with, that we've dealt with in the process of discussing information that the state has access to, by the various databases that we presently have access to, which would certainly include the databases which are presently maintained by the 36 counties, as well as the database which is maintained by the Department of Motor Vehicles, and also the database, which is rather substantial, that is maintained by the Department of Revenue.
Mm-hmm.
Has there been any attempt to see what the statute would provide relative to some of those databases, particularly in relationship to the fact that some of those have some pretty decent information and much more detailed information? For instance, the database which is presently maintained by the Department of Revenue would not only just have the full name of the person and each dependent of a household, but would also have the age of both of the husband and wife on a joint return or the father of a single return, the age in years, and it would also have a Social Security number for every person that's reflected, whether it be a father or a dependent on that return. Now, that's more information probably than a lot of people would like other folks to have, but it creates a database that is enormous in relationship to some of the databases that we're talking about. Now, I recognize that our DMV will have, through the Department of Motor Vehicles, will have for those people who are driving in the household or who may have learner permits or who may have gone in for an ID card for a 14-year-old that's going to travel with their parents on an airplane ride, there may be other information on file. But has there been any exploration about the numbers of databases and the accesses and cross-accesses that we could use?
Mr. Chair, I think I might ask Colleen Seelock, our elections director, to speak more directly to that, and just in preference to getting up here. Obviously, the real questions there are accessibility. We cannot, for example, use Social Security as an identifier for election purposes under federal law. Personally, I wish we could. We're going to look at using maybe some variant of that, but I think if I understand the spirit of the question, to what extent can the system link up with existing databases to try to reduce the cost of it? And I think those kinds of questions were asked by the consultant that did the feasibility study of this, but I'll let Ms. Seelock elaborate.
Chair Butler, members of the committee, my name is Colleen Seelock. I'm the elections director. In fact, Chair Butler, that's exactly what we want to do, is take advantage of all those communication systems or databases that are currently out there. The Department of Motor Vehicles was a member of our advisory board, and major political party had a member, the press had a member, all the minor parties were represented. So we tried to make sure that as a customer service provider that we were looking at things that the parties need and candidates need, as well as what we need for my election implementation perspective. So DMV has been very aware of what we're doing. We already do voter registration in DMV offices, and there's a way that we will hopefully eventually be able to do that electronically, and that there would not be pieces of paper going back and forth. Department of Revenue is a little bit more difficult because of some of the confidentiality laws. The Secretary already explained we are prohibited from asking for the Social Security or requiring the Social Security number. There is some current pending federal legislation that is trying to address that. We are working with consultants across the nation. There are some states that can ask for Social Security number because they have for years and years and years, but Oregon is not one of them. We have also been working very closely with Don Maserati and the Central and the State Committee about are we headed down the right path here. They're very excited about this proposal and have reviewed it as well. So I think we're doing a very good job of lining up all the pieces and not just creating one additional new database that the state's going to fund while something else simultaneously is occurring now, where we can piggyback together. So I think we are in a very good position with respect to that.
Senator Trill is recognized.
Chair, you brought up a number of the questions that I was going to ask. One of them would be basically what sorts of things will you be buying as you use this money to centralize it? Are you buying essentially a computer system? Is that it?
Chair Butler, Senator Trow, what we are buying is we are buying hardware that in some counties will substitute for current hardware they have.
It's going to help the counties with hardware.
Going to help the counties. In other counties that have very sophisticated voter registration systems that are also tied into the implementation of an election. Multnomah County, Marion County, counties like who have been able to afford to support these kinds of things, we would merely buy a box that sits in the office that will then allow standard uniform communication back into a central database. We are buying a software program that then will have to be redesigned for Oregon. There is not a software program available that you can buy off the shelf that has Oregon statutory framework, so it would be buying that software, buying some training time for all the county clerks. It is buying some additional FTE for us to support that, so that if on election eve a voter registration system goes down in a county, we can be the ones that provide that ongoing assistance. So basically, some hardware dependent on county's needs, clearly the software program, and I can't forget the data conversion process, where we are not planning on filling out what the county has, but rather converting their data to fit into the software package as it's designed.
Does this plan call upon the counties all to be cooperative, and you've got an assurance that they will? Will there have to be county expenditures if they're part of the plan?
Representative Butler, Senator Trow, this bill in one format was pre-session filed with the joint unanimous support of the Association of County Clerks. We do not anticipate having counties at this time funding any part of this proposal. This is
would be fully paid for.
This would be fully paid for. So that's the way it currently has been drafted.
But what sort of risks are there in doing this?
Representative Butler, Senator Trow, there are the normal data conversion risks to make sure that all that data is converted properly and that we don't lose someone. The risk in an ongoing system is to ensure that all the counties are using it uniformly, putting that information in, and then checking it. If I live in, as I do now, in the Marion County portion of Salem, and I moved to West Salem, and I've now changed residence to Polk County, we want to ensure that the Marion County clerk doesn't cancel me in Marion County, or the Polk County clerk doesn't cancel me in Marion County, but rather sends the message to the Marion County clerk saying, is this the same person? I have enough identifiers in the system. I have a rather unique name, so it may not happen to me, but there are some very common names. that we want to be careful about, that those identifiers are clearly checked out so we wouldn't disenfranchise someone from voting on election day.
Are there problems of cost overruns or things like that that we'd have to watch out for?
Chair Butler, Senator Trill, I think it would be naive for anybody or kind of ridiculous to promise that there would not be any cost overruns, but we have used a national renowned expert to develop the proposal thus far. He is very familiar with what's occurred in other states. He is the one that has specifically said time and time again, both in testifying in front of House as well as in meetings with many senators and representatives, do not parse this. If you parse this, it is a recipe for disaster, and that's what we're learning from other states. If you don't have the full funding, then sit on it until you do, because in order to attempt to step it in will dramatically increase the risk that you take.
There are states that have successfully done this.
Rep. Chair Butler, Senator Trill, there are.
Okay. You know the costs of the other states, what they have experienced in per voter, per resident of the state in relation to the in relationship to the estimated cost that we've been given.
Chair Butler, Senator Trill, we could certainly try to ascertain that. The state that is closest to us, California, is just finishing theirs. It's sometimes very difficult because of the needs. For example, in this state, we will want to make sure and digitize signatures, because signatures in this state are used for a variety of different applications in the election world. We have initiatives. Some states do not have initiatives. We do use vote by mail now. Other states may only use signatures in an absentee, and in other states, there some states absentee requirements are far more higher to meet than what they are in this state. I'm not sure. I mean, I can certainly ask Mr. Newkirk, who wrote this report, for those cost amounts from other states. I'm not sure how helpful it will be in the end, but if the chair would like them, we will certainly.
Sure. What are the consequences for delaying this another 2 years?
I'll take that. The consequences are that we continue to we have some risk that issues of litigation arising about very close elections where the issue of proper voter registration is a salient one. I mean, for example, in conjunction with the double majority. I want to say what the risks are not. I don't think the risks are at all noteworthy about having having fraud and mischief at any scale if we fail to do it. I don't want to oversell it. I see it more as just an opportunity to take advantage of what today's technology allows you to do to provide greater assurance on that aspect of the democratic process that is probably as central and at the core of the democratic process as any that you can ask for, which is the integrity of the voter registration system. And in that sense, postponing it 2 years means that the work we've done just gets put on a shelf, and at a certain point, you got to do a lot of this work over again because things change and technology, et cetera. So we do feel we've invested a lot of time and effort, but we recognize the trade-off that you have as a committee. But I don't know if Representative Edwards wants to speak to that at all either. I think it just primarily be a missed opportunity, and if any session doesn't have difficulties about making these kinds of choices. But it is one time. It is a one-time choice.
Something we absolutely need to do at some point.
You know, we've managed to have a system that doesn't have this for 140 years. And I can't point to a major scandal that has occurred because of a lack of the system. And we can knock on wood and thank our lucky stars that hasn't happened. But I think this is a significant enhancement of what we have in both a real way and how Oregonians feel about it. So could we get by without it? Yeah. But I do not think that'd be a prudent course of action.
I think the 50-50 provision in our present voting program probably is the most onerous part of that.
And I think that's the impelling
point.
Right.
And digitization of the signatures relative to 41 would certainly be a good reason to come back and take a look at
the levy election law 41 because of bad data.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. And I guess finally, what I hear is that maybe Oregon, and I married a young lady from across the river in Idaho, the state of Idaho, and her driver's license bore her social security number. I'm wondering why it is that Oregon uses this strange batch of numbers when we're one of those few, maybe as you start looking at your partners in this process, maybe the DMV needs to come back to a standardized system of numbering and come back to a social security numbering system in this whole process, because I think that we tend to reinvent the wheel trying to, and I hate to sound like Big Brother here, but most other states do use the social security number because it's a number that will not be replicated somewhere else. And again, on social security numbers, those are already on tax returns, not just for the filers of the tax returns, but also for the dependents on a tax return. With very little modification, you would have the dates of birth on all dependents on tax returns. You could anticipate all kinds of information with very little effort on the part. And I appreciate the fact that under federal law, you can't use that as the determining factor for the registration of a voter. But what I guess I am saying is that maybe that would certainly help if we look at that just from the DMV aspect. It came out of the study process that Mr. Newkirk has been working on. That from the various databases we received both various different types of information, which would be, I mean, there might be 10 Randall Edwards. But there's only going to be one Randall Edwards with the social security number that this one particular has this particular representative Edwards has. So I guess I would just really encourage us to take a look at what database there might be out there and encourage us to question. Any other questions of Secretary Kiesling, Representative Edwards, Colin Seeloff?
Sure. It seems like this is a program we really do need, and we're going to promote the side of the other people.
Thank you very much.
Well, thank you.
Thank you so much for being here.
Didn't count this way. That's true.
I think the chair used the DMV after explaining what it was to do your participation. Thank you very much. Any other testimony relative to 2001? If not, we'll go ahead and close the public hearing on House Bill 201. And we will open the public hearing on House Bill 2465. We have with us for 2465, Representative Cruz and Representative Crummell. I believe you're both here on 2465. Please come forward. We appreciate you being here. Thank you for your attendance.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, Jeff Cruz, State Representative, District 45. Before I begin, having not testified before this sub before, could somebody explain the pig?
Oh boy! If Representative Krupp was here, he'd give you the full 9 yards on the pig. This is our acronym pig. It belongs to the American Cancer Society. That's the ACS. And because of the short duration of, we'll be here under term limits. And because everything we say is recorded in these hearings, sometimes there'll be acronyms used that many people have used for years and years that we may not know what they really are. So You're welcome to any acronym you'd like. If you'll tell us what it is, the first one or two won't cost you anything. After that, it's 2 bits for the ACS. So. I think I've used more than that. I'll put in a dollar for you. How's that?
Okay. Thank you. I'm still 2465. First off, we appreciate you hearing this. This was a bill that started out in the Boards and Licenses and Subcommittee of the House Human Resources Committee. And it started out to be a whole lot sicker and a whole lot different than the bill you have in front of you. And to say this is a gotten stuff would not be totally accurate. First, it was a gut because we included a whole bunch of stuff, and then after that, we removed what was there in the first place. So it was a two-part action to basically do a gut and stuff on the bill. There was a pause in there. We had long testimony on this, and what we have come up with basically doesn't do a whole lot, and yet at the same time it does. Basically all we are doing is taking a function that is currently in the health department and moving it outside the health department into a separate office, and that is, and you will hear testimony on that. The reason it ended up down here is because the original bill had a subsequent referral. We were not totally sure at the time that we sent it that it shouldn't be looked at, but my take on it is basically all we're doing is transferring funds from one place to another, and so we aren't having any real significant revenue impact. I guess the other thing I would say is that we also have a bill somewhere down here that creates an interim task force to look at boards and licenses and to look at it in a comprehensive way and see if there's a way we can restructure to gain some administrative efficiencies and also hopefully to allow the public better access to remedies the problems they are having. And which also relates to another group that's going to be going in the interim dealing with the way we structure the ombudsman program in the state of Oregon. So we are planning on doing some significant work in this area during the interim. I think this bill sets up a body that's going to give us some good data on direction we need to be going. I think this is good public policy, and I would urge that you send this to the floor.
Thank you very much, Representative.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, I'm Jerry Crummel, State Representative from District 27. I would like to just add my 2 bits worth for House Bill 2465. I think that originally, as Representative Cruz mentioned, originally the bill probably bit off a little bit more than it could chew from the standpoint of the changes that were trying to be made, and actually I think more out of fear than anything else, it had created a lot of anxiety and therefore a lot of opposition. However, with the way that we restructured it in the Human Resources Committee, I think that it doesn't have the opposition that it had before. It doesn't have the fear attached to it that it had before, and it also doesn't have the fiscal impact attached to it that it had before. So, basically, it should be fiscal expenditure and revenue neutral in my estimation, but I'm not the one that's working on all of these budgets. The one thing that I would note is that you remember a few weeks ago, and I was here for House Bill 2704, which was the athletic trainer registration bill. In that, one of the things that we ran into in drafting that bill was that we were unable to describe the health licensing office because the health licensing office does not exist in statute. But that's where we wanted that particular group or that registration program to continue to reside. And what 2465 will do is put the Health Licensing Office into statute so that it can be referred to in the future. Currently, this is an office that kind of has a little bit of a hodgepodge, but of boards and commissions that are attached to it, and they provide all of the administrative functions for it, but it's still for those nine, but it actually is a conglomeration, I think, of about three or four different budgets that operates the office. What 2465 will do is bring all of that in together, creates one office, and we'll create one budget. So I think what we'll find is that it will be a much more efficient way for us to operate, for the state to operate, in particular with regards to health licensing operations. And so I, in joining Representative Cruz, urge you to pass it on to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you very much, Representative Kremel. Representative Kremel, in looking at the bill, is the Board of Athletic Trainers contemplated in the bill as it presently is?
Yes, it is. It is, thank you, yes. It's on page 2, line 38, and that's under section 4. And the read-in line is that the following boards, councils, and programs are transferred to the Health Licensing Office. And so that and what it has to do, because 2704 actually has passed both houses, but as soon as the governor signs it, if this passes, then I would imagine there would probably be some kind of a resolution to that, so to make sure that the board is housed there. But that was the intent of 2704, and of course we that's the intent of this as well, is to keep the athletic trainers in the Health Licensing Office.
Thank you. It's
my understanding that these boards do not come under the hearings officers to the employment division, which we've dealt with before. Why is that?
Sure, I'd have to defer to probably Sue Wilson or one of the staff for that.
I'm sure Representative Messerly, probably because of the way they're structured. And I would let Sue answer that, but I think there are a whole lot of boards in the healthcare industry that don't. So, we set things up in different ways over periods of time.
But Chair, if I could follow up, just a comment, it might be that's what they're looking at down the road, but it would seem to me that the reasons for these licensing boards would lend themselves very well if there was a complaint to go through a hearing officer, for the same reasons that we heard for the real estate boards and all the others.
I'm just looking at a copy of 2525, which is the hearings officer's bill, the hearing panel bill. My recollection was that it included state agencies but did not include the state health. And I think that's probably what Representative Kremel referred to, Representative Messerly, was the Health Licensing Office, and then it isn't such an animal. So you have to enumerate the board. However, if you'll recall the portion that it was all boards and licenses and panels and other things except, and then they gave us the list of 26, 27, 28 exceptions by the time we were done throwing the governor and the secretary of state and some other folks in there. So let's see if. Let's see if that's, because that did catch me as well. I didn't remember the real estate folks being involved, and when someone asked me a question, are the real estate folks involved? My immediate response was, well, I don't understand them there anywhere, so I guess they're not involved. Well, it's just those that are excluded that are on there.
They're covered.
These are covered under 2525. So you would be covered under the central hearings panel program. I think it's everybody in the state except.
I think you're right. It is included.
Senator Phil is recognized.
What are we changing from to this? What has it been before? Have these all these boards been tied together before in an organization?
Chair Butler, Senator Troll, the way it is now is all of these are in the administered in the same under the same person inside the health department.
By the health division.
Yeah, and all we're doing is separating that from
the health department. So it's a freestanding agency, yeah, is that it? Yeah. But they're all together like they have been.
Functionally, nothing is going to change necessarily in the way they're operating, except I think this will allow them some flexibility for efficiencies in the way they operate.
How do they together sort of pay the cost for running the thing? Is there is it based on the numbers each has? Some of these boards are going to have lots of members and be very strong. The new athletic board is going to struggle to have enough probably for a while. What's the way that they sort of divide up to pay for this agency?
I think. Chair Butler, Senator Troll, I would prefer to defer to Sue Wilson, who actually comes there to get into the real numbers of it, if that would be okay.
Would be financially viable.
Yeah. I guess, Mr. Chair, the only other thing I would add, Representative Crummell talked about our being able to end paranoia. And that's not quite true, because there's people wandering around the building and wondering what the heck we're going to do with this bill next. And I just state for the record, as the chair of the committee this came from, it would be my intention that nothing more is done with this bill.
Thank you very much.
You don't want to pass out of here.
So the A5 and A6 amendments we can thank them, because they are not they were submitted the week after the existing A endorsement. Is that right? And by way of examination 2525, I'm going through those agencies which are exempt. I don't find anything with regard to the health licensing boards or I think the closest that we come to it is there's both rehab, and then there was there just isn't anything with the state licensing boards, health licensing boards at all. Thank you very kindly.
Thank you.
We appreciate it. Now, let's see. We do have Sue Wilson, health licensing, has signed up to testify on behalf of 2465. Ms. Wilson, would you?
Chairman Butler and members of the committee, I'm Susan Wilson, the Administrator for the Health Licensing Office. I do want to reflect some light on some of the issues that you raised during the testimony of the two previous speakers. The Health Licensing Office and all the boards within the Health Licensing Office currently use contract hearings officers for their disputes. We are very supportive of the bill that you referred to, and as you noticed, we were not exempt from that bill. So that's... To continue with my testimony, I want to underscore that this has been a long-standing need for this organization. The organization currently reports its budget in three different budgets before the Ways and Means Committee, which can be confusing. There's no really cohesive unit under which we can answer some of the questions that Senator Troll had about, well, how do you expend money for each of these programs as it relates back to the larger organization or administration. this particular bill will allow that to happen because we will have a structure that's identifiable, and each board's budget, which it is, they are currently reviewed now, will be reviewed in one cohesive group rather than a bit over here, a bit over here, and a bit over here, and then you try to put it all together. The good thing is about this bill is it legitimizes our current structure, but it really doesn't have a fiscal impact. It will take some changes within the law in order to enable the revenues and expenditures, which has been currently approved for the next budget go-round, to be transferred into this particular office. And I'd like to refer to a letter that I've given to legislative committee staff in which creates the enabling language that will specifically transfer the approved budget language, and that's why we're referred to Ways and Means in order for that to happen. It lists the actual budget amounts found by transferring the governor's recommended budget limitation and revenues collected and transfers those into the health licensing office. This letter has received review and approval from the Oregon Health Division Fiscal Officer, the Department of Administrative Services, and has also received some support, or at least has been reviewed by your committee staff. It will provide the framework for the language that's necessary as we understand it. The existing health licensing office structure has evolved, as the two previous speakers said, as an unplanned organization. This bill merely synchronizes the grouping of boards that are currently operating within this office. It does not create an additional agency. Instead, it creates a single budget, merging three reporting budgets into one agency. It does not change the budget preparation standards or any review standards that are currently the responsibility of the legislature and the governor. It does not create an oversight authority, which was the original thrust of this bill. That language is no longer contained in the bill. But it does improve our efficiency and eliminates the duplication of efforts over the past decade. ANGROVE defines, or 2465 defines our licensing office. It corrects and streamlines the current reporting structure and offers us some basic efficiencies that will improve what we believe our quality of service to our customers. I do want to point out it has support from the Department of Human Resources Study of Licensing and Certification Program, which identified our office as deriving many efficiencies from our consolidated service structure and encouraged us to continue to look for other ways to find administrative efficiencies. This also has the support of the Health Division, who has seen the positive effects of our current office but recognizes there are some efficiencies and inefficiencies from the multiple reporting levels that we currently have. And the nine boards affected within our current office are supportive of this structure. If I can answer any questions, I would be happy to. There are a couple of concerns that were raised that I want to make sure that the committee understands that we've addressed. One of the concerns related to section 2, page 2, line 11, subsection E, and the concern that I want to place on the record that to provide you with the assurances that this subsection only relates to the boards that are referenced within this bill and isn't expansive in any way. The second issue related to the complaint process, and we have the Oregon Board of Dental Association's representatives agreement that we will resolve that as we are currently in consultation with our Assistant Attorney General. So those are the only two issues that I'm aware of, and once again, I'd be happy to answer questions.
Thank you very much. So in your testimony, your position at this point is recognized that the State Board of Venture Technology is not going to be a portion of the of this particular House Bill 2465.
Chair Butler know the response that I am referring was the issue that was raised by the Oregon Dental Association with regard to how the Board of Denture Technology handled its complaints. In conversation with that representative, she's happy with the current route we're taking, which is meetings with our Assistant Attorney General, which are ongoing. We've already started those meetings, and she will be involved in that process.
So there will be a portion, or they will not be?
They will remain in the bill as written.
Okay.
The two previous witnesses suggested that they didn't think that this bill needed any changing, but you obviously have a little amendment that just shifts the money around, and that's just necessary to get the money properly moved from one agency to the other.
Chair Butler, Senator Trow, we were advised by fiscal analysts and types that perhaps the language that is currently within the law isn't as clear as it needed to be. So we're presenting it as a safety net or safeguard, and it would, of course, be up to your committee to determine whether it is absolutely necessary.
$3,448,775 is the amount of money you have currently, and you just want that moved, right?
That's correct.
That's the way to do it.
That's correct.
It's my understanding that those agencies certainly have those funds set aside to operate, and that would be brought over to the health portion of it.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the record, again, Jeff Cruz, State Representative, District 45. Senator, I was referring to the substantive portion of the bill that we were fine with. The addition of the funding is separate from that. So
that's the fiscal portion that we would be prepared to deal with.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, the Senator Lem is recognized.
Thank you, Lucian. I'm sending the testimony is going to be more efficient and eliminate duplication. But as I see it, as long as I don't see that the funding, any savings, any FC, any savings, I don't see any of those numbers at all. Then what's the difference with housing and the human resources and the separate? I don't see any big difference. And it seems like the system is not broken. Only you try to put the other places.
Chair Butler, Senator Lim, if I can give you an example, we're doing three budgets right now under which the legislative committees need to review and then try to tie those together. It's not clear always in those budgets, those specific boards. Also, we are housing two agency employees or personnel, and so transfer for those employees if there's a job opening is very cumbersome because we have no statutory authority to allow those kinds of transfers to occur. And this will assist us in the very functional administrative and organizational pieces that when legislation is sometimes developed doesn't recognize. And we're, over the past decade, have recognized where those duplications are and are fixing those at this time.
That's in the case it will be more efficient.
Absolutely, yes.
Thank you. I read in the letter, Mr. Chair, there might be a future from savings. And do you see any future we might be able to save some money doing that?
Chair Butler and Senator Lim, because we're transferring some of the fiscal functions and personnel functions that are currently provided by the Oregon Health Division and then reviewed by the Department of Administrative Services, merely taking the Health Division segment out and it will go directly to the Department of Administrative Services. I believe that path to fee for personnel services and accounting and those issues will remain the same. We're assuming that until we have further information. We don't know that there will be a cost savings because the same services need to be provided to our office.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. I'd like to just, are there any other questions? Senator Trow?
Just one. DAS is okay with this change?
Department of Administrative Services.
Chair Butler, Senator Crow. Yes, we do have a representative from the Office of Department of Administrative Services.
Okay. And the Health Division can get along without you.
The Health Division is supportive of this measure.
Mr. Chair, Senator Crow. For the record, I am George Naughton with the Department of Administrative Services. We are neutral on this bill, and the changes that you have in this last amendment, we agree with. The Health Division agrees that that is the correct number for the transfer.
So the $3,448,775 is the correct amount. You've confirmed that.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Why are you neutral?
Mr. Chair, Senator Crow, this bill was actually pre-set and filed with our governor's office, and we did not allow that measure to go forward simply because we have a number of semi-independent state agencies out there right now, and we thought it would not be prudent for us to go forward with another model before we knew what the impact of those semi-independent stats would be. So we decided it would just be better for us to wait until we had more information from the semi-independent.
Solidity doesn't mean opposition.
Mr. Chair, Senator Shaw, I have not heard any opposition. We are neutral on the bill.
Thank you very much. Senator Langer.
This funding is for other funds. Is Stockton involved in a lot of these and don't find anything at all?
It's all other funds at this point. That's correct. It's probably within the existing nine, I believe there's a total of nine health-related licensing offices. Now, for the sure aware that there's a total of about 20 plus or minus, depending upon which ones you would include. Health-related licensing, you've got the new athletic trainers board, and that's a health-related licensing board as well. So there are other agencies out there. So is there any further questions? Further comments of the committee. I have no other signed up support testimony, but I would like to just briefly invite Jane Myers to come forward. Jane, can you come forward? And I just want to make sure that at this particular point, Jane, does the Oregon Dental Association have a position, yay or nay, or are you neutral at this point on this particular hospital?
Mr. Chair, Jane Myers for the Oregon Dental Association. The ODA is okay with the bill. We'll be happy to make some contribution to your kitty. In the time that we raised some objections, we had a conversation with Ms. Wilson and have been told and agree that the Attorney General should be able to, with some consultation with the board, to resolve the problems about carrying out the complaint process, which was our concern.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. If there's no further questions or comments, we'll move to work session on House Bill 2465. Close the public hearing and go into work session. Thank you very much. We've received the information from the Department of Administrative Services, Mr. Naughton. We'd like to go ahead and have a response from Legislative Fiscal Office Representative Dallas Lyons.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, we have distributed the staff measures. Summary on House Bill 2465 in the A and Gross version. You also have a copy of Fiscal Impact, which essentially says it's transferring monies and responsibilities. There might be some savings, could be some one-time costs, but we don't see that as anything significant. What you have, I believe the committee wishes to adopt, we would have to draft an amendment to the A and Gross to incorporate the language which would transfer the expenditure limitations and previously with these nine boards to the new health licensing office and formalize that in a dash monthly amendment to be adopted by this committee of staff. I think that would be the next step if you wish to have this amendment included as part of the bill.
Are there any objections to that amendment being drafted to accommodate the fiscal for the transfer and the expenditure limitation? If there are none, we'll go ahead and ask for that amendment to be prepared to accommodate the fiscal impact, and then we'll go ahead and hold this particular session over, and you know when that may be at this particular point, so that we'll have to reschedule, or whether we can. Why don't we just go ahead and hold over the public hearing and work session for 2465 over until tomorrow? Can we do that then? We'll go ahead then without taking any action, pending receipt of the amendments to accommodate the spending limitation and the fiscal impact on 2465. We'll go ahead and carry over our public hearing and work session on 2465.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
Sure that the other members present.
Thank you very kindly. We appreciate that. We wish you all the best, and we look forward to seeing you back.
Chair, do we need to just recess that?
Yes, that'll be just recessed and just carry over, and just carry over by recess to tomorrow.
Will that be our only agenda for tomorrow?
No, let's see. We do have others for tomorrow. I think, yeah, they're posted in the hall.
They're going to give us the K-12 budget tomorrow.
K-12, wow.
I wonder what I was saying.